So, Alexandra, what is your position at the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts?
I'm currently studying there on the Music Theatre and Entertainment Management course. And I was the producer for the Tube Extra and the Tube live streams.
Nice. Now, how did the Tube Extra and the Tube live stream start?
It was the brainchild of Martin Isherwood, I think, about 10 years ago. So it's been a long time in the making. It's been under a lot of different names. But I think we kind of hit the jackpot this year, and we figured out what it was going to be, as in terms of showcasing new music. It's also a key time of the year for the musicians to showcase themselves to industry professionals and also online over YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the Tube Extra a part of the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts, or is it an independent organization?
It's part of the Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts. Basically, the way it's run is we've got six courses at LIPA, ranging from acting, community drama, music, sound tech, design technology, design. Everything is studied. Everything about performance and how to make performance possible is studied at LIPA. So everybody, all the students from each course come together and produce this show every year. It's a massive collaborative project between all the different students. Obviously, the lecturers oversee what we do and they help us if we've got any trouble, but it's very much student-led and student-organized, which is what part of my job was.
Now, are the artists themselves that are in the concert series, are they students?
Yeah, they're all on the music course at LIPA, and they're all graduating. So it's their showcase, basically, in their third year.
Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of like a more than a bonus that the school's offering for being a part of the curriculum. This is actually a possible career booster for some.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've definitely met a lot of people through this, visitors to the school who wanted to talk to me about what we've done. And a lot of the technical side is quite advanced. We've had people come up and saying, we don't know how you're doing this, putting a live show and streaming it over YouTube to such a high quality. So I know that a lot of the tech side have had career talks about it, but also it's really great for the artists. Obviously, we tried a lot this year to promote them a lot more, get a bigger online audience. We had the biggest online audience that we'd had, ranging all around the world, and obviously that's a massive boost for their career if they get people worldwide tuning in for it.
Yeah, and it's good that you bring that up too, because the video and sound quality were just top notch. I mean, it was professionally done. It looked like a broadcast television event.
Yeah, well, this was my first year on the project this year. Obviously, I knew about it last year, being a student at LIPA. It's quite a big deal every year. But our technical director, Phil Glennie, he's been working on it for the last 3 years. This year was his last year. And he just knows what he's doing. And the technicians at LIPA, they've studied in their field. They're all very good at it. Broadcast sound was really great this year. And I was lucky enough to be in the room while they were doing the mixing for that. So we had one mix that was happening in the Paul McCartney Auditorium that the audience were hearing, another mix that was going out onto the stream, which was what was played over YouTube. And it was just amazing. It was such a nice thing to happen at the end of months and months of organization for it to be so good. We're all very proud of ourselves for that, I think.
Now, how was it achieved with YouTube? Because I know how to do like a stream or a Google Hangout, which looks stupid at the end of the day. I mean, it's basically, you know, I mean, it's designed to be amateurs, but you guys had multicams. The audio sounded like it was coming right off the board and mastered. And I mean, how is that technically done or technologically done and then sent to YouTube?
Well, what we do is we've got our YouTube account, which is the Tube Lipper, if anybody'd like to check it out. And we create a live event on their live video event. We had, I think it was 5 cameras in the PMA, and they are all hooked up to a vision mixer. And Phil Glennie sits there, and what he'll do is he'll call the cameras. So he'll say the shot that he wants to the camera and prepare them and then switch to them. So I don't know, you might have seen it in like basketball games when they have loads of different cameras. That's what kind of we did this year. And the sound was mixed. It was a separate mix that went that was mixed straight away. So it was kind of live mixing that went straight out over onto YouTube. So that we needed the whole team to be on the ball for the whole 4 hours that we were live every day. The whole team had to be completely invested in making sure that everything was right, because obviously in a live event like that, you can't afford anything to really go wrong.
Yeah, so it was basically done just like a live television show.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, look, we definitely learned a lot this year. We had to adapt the lighting as well, because when you're lighting for camera, it's very different to just lighting for a normal live audience. Sometimes the shots that Phil was getting were a bit too dark. So we had a very good communication system, and we had radios between all the departments, and he would just say to the lighting designer, look, we need a bit more front light or something. And then they would immediately put it up a bit. So I think that's one thing that was really key this year, was communication between the different departments to allow it to run so smoothly.
Now, did you have to coordinate anything with YouTube, or were you able to just plug it all in and go?
We just plugged it all in and went. Obviously, you have to abide by the laws.
The rules.
Yes, there we go. The rules outlined by YouTube. There was one performer, Chanel, who had a burlesque dancer, and just before her performance, she said, oh, can she go fully topless, or like just have nipple tassels on so it's just covering her? And obviously it's not something that had been brought to my attention before we went live, so it's not something I'd looked into. So I was frantically reading up YouTube's policy on nudity and adult content about 10 minutes before she went on, and luckily it was fine. So we gave her the go ahead, and it was all good. But I learned a lot about what's acceptable to put on a stream, and I think you really need to know that probably before you stream live. Something I should probably know for next year if I do it again.
Now, can YouTube just kill it if a rules break? I mean, even on a live stream?
Yeah, even on a live stream. Like, we obviously copyright infringement's a massive thing for music. So if we had any artists come up and do covers, YouTube's got an amazing detection program that it can just pick up the song and they'll let the artist know, or their label or publisher, and we can get shut down if we infringe on other people's music or anything like that. So that was really important this year. We sent out a YouTube policy, and this year no covers were played on the stream, so there was just no problem with getting it taken down or anything.
Wow. But I mean, it's kind of good that no covers are being played anyway, because some covers I've heard 1,000 times, you know? Yeah,
I think especially when you've got people tuning in to, I think, original artists these days, people want to hear more of that. Like, you can find so many covers on YouTube, and I think just 40 minutes of original music is a really good thing for a band to be able to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Without pushing covers in.
Mm-hmm. Now with LIPA being a school, and with bands like the Beatles, you know, Paul and John meeting at such a young age, and with the Rolling Stones, with Mick and Keith meeting in school and all that, how many of these bands met at LIPA and formed from there?
A lot of them are from LIPA. Some people have obviously friends outside of LIPA. They can play in the bands as well. But one thing I noticed about the music course is everybody is just very into different styles of music. I think one thing that was showcased at the Tube Extra was I know one guy, he's in 3 different bands that performed, went from like heavy metal, rocky to kind of folk music as well. So I think the musicians at LIPA can go into 3 different bands if they want to and perform any kind of music they want. And that's the good thing about the LIPA bands that we have showcased.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's it like being a student at LIPA? Because, I mean, it sounds almost like a free think tank.
Yeah, it's hard work. I think sometimes people can misconceive being in the entertainment industry for being easy. And LIPA is definitely not easy, but it's a lot of fun. And a lot of the students, most of the students, we're doing something that we love. Like, I love the entertainment industry. Putting on the Tube Extra wasn't easy, but it's something I love doing. And I'm in an environment that every day I can go in, and if I have an idea or or anything, there is support there for you to do it. Like the tube extra, we changed it in little ways, and that was just by going to lecturers and talking to them and the whole team having their input. And I think that's a really key important thing about Lipper, is you always have an input and you're in an environment that you enjoy being in. So you're working with people who love their field as much as you do. So it's a quite a passionate environment.
Now, do you have, like, here in the U.S., like when I started college, they have a thing called general courses where they're basically continuation of what you, your basic courses in high school. Do you guys have to do that over there as well?
No, we have, you have like, in the UK, you pretty much go into the field that you want to do. So as part of my course, I study finance, law, marketing, business. So you draw on aspects that you want to be part of in the future. So if I want to go into production or live producing, I can draw on all the things I learned, but we don't do like the core subjects that I think American colleges do.
Thank God.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. I think once you get to, once you get to 18, and I think if you know what you want to do, then the UK is quite a good place just to dive in and get involved with it, because courses are very tailored to the job you want to do.
Exactly. Well, I don't understand why we do that here, because we have what you call the SATs, which tells the college where you stand on your basic education, you know? Yeah. So why not just trust that instead of put us in general courses?
Yeah, you kind of finish general courses. Since you don't have to decide what you want to do straight away, I think you get a bit more time. I think it, with the UK, because it's so specialised, I mean, you do have to think quicker about what you want to do and worry if that's the wrong choice, because if you get it wrong, you are on that course for like 3 years. So there are pros and cons, I think.
Exactly. I mean, so LIPA is like an accredited school. It's just its focus is on performing arts.
Yeah, it's performing arts and everything that makes performance possible. So it's about the people behind the scenes as well. We've got amazing musicians and actors, but we've got community drama, which is all about theatre and the community, managers, lighting designers, sound technicians, set designers. Like we do some amazing shows at Lipa where we build the shows, we build the set at the school, and then it could just go straight out onto the stage. And then another show will happen. It'll happen all over again. It's really cool.
Wow. So what is covered under the term performing arts? I mean, we've got theater, acting, music. So it sounds like cinematography as well, broadcasting, media. Does it also cover journalism as well and things like that?
Not really journalism. It's the good thing about Lipper, it will give you the basic skills to expand. I know I've done journalism in my free time and used what I've learned at Lipper to do it. We'd have like dance as well. And broadcast and TV isn't taught. A lot of the tube extra stuff that we learned, like how to do the vision mixing, I know Phil taught a lot of himself. We have so many experienced lecturers who will help you out, but there is quite a focus on self-learning and self-teaching as well, which I quite enjoy, because everybody learns at different paces, don't they? So I think if you can teach yourself something and get really involved and really interested in it, I think that's a really cool aspect of Lipper.
Nice. Now, the tube extra isn't just the only thing the tube's doing. I mean, what, in a nutshell, what is the tube?
Oh, gosh. I don't think there is a nutshell answer. It's basically a showcase of talent. So we've got the tube live streams. They happen. We had three of them this year, and they were broadcast over YouTube from our cafe. And we had artists from Lipper, and we also had external artists as well performing. And it's just a showcase talent. It's just a new platform for emerging talent in Liverpool.
Now, I mean, that's just awesome, man. I mean, because it's almost like a talent repository where, you know, it just shows off the possibilities of the students of that school.
Yeah, I think it just shows the diversity, I think, as well, because we've got like the international aspect of Lipper as well is so big. It just showcases everything like Norwegian folk music, heavy metal, pop, rock, everything is covered, which I think I really love about that's what I really love. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Now, how easy is it to enroll in LIPA? Do you also have financing and bursaries, things like that?
I don't think LIPA have any bursaries, but I'm not sure. I'm an international student as well, because I'm not actually from the UK. I'm from a little island called Jersey. So I had an interview and had to do a maths test and a presentation. But it wasn't, like I said before, everybody who applies for LIPA is passionate about what they're doing. So the interview is not, they're not trying to put you out of your place or try and challenge you. They just want to learn what you're doing and learn about you. So I was pretty comfortable in my interview.
And learn about what you're good at, what your talents are. What you bring
to the school as well.
Nice, nice. So I gotta ask, with all the bands that are in the Tube and were in the Tube Extra shows, which ones did you think stand out, or do you think they all stood out in their own way? Because I found something I liked about every single one that I've heard so far.
There is obviously something about every band that I loved. I was lucky enough to see every performance live, so I could go from our control room into the PMA and watch every performance. But I think there are some artists that make you catch your breath a little bit. I think definitely one of mine was Helena Johnston. She's got such a beautiful voice, and her songs are just so good, and her performance had so much energy. 17 people in her band, and her voice still stood out, and I think that was a real achievement from her. And I love Nina G. I thought her performance was great with all the dancing. But yeah, you're right. Every performance had something about it, which is what I think is great about the Tube Extra as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's 17 people in Helena's band?
Yeah, Helena's band is 17 people.
Wow. I mean, what is it, like 4 drummers and 6 guitarists?
Yeah, they had like a quartet of a horn section.
Oh, wow.
She had a violinist, a string section, drummer, keyboard player, guitar, bass. But her setup was huge, but the sound that she created with all these bands, I think she had a rapper at some point and backing vocalist. She just put on a really great show, I think.
Yeah, I did notice her music sounded full live. I mean, it sounded like a lot of people there. I mean, I didn't see her performance. I heard it in the radio broadcast later. But it, you know, I assumed it was like she had maybe 2 or 3 keyboardists at first. No. But no, I mean, it sounded too acoustic for that.
Oh no, packed out stage she had. It was great. Such a great atmosphere she created in that room.
Wow, wow. Great. Another one that I did see though that really blew me away was what you were talking about earlier, was Chanel's.
Yeah, well, that was an amazing performance. That was a performance that I think everybody walked out of the room and they'll remember. I think she knows how to capture the audience attention, and her songs, they make you smile, but then they've got this undertone of like seriousness. And I think that balance is great. I think she's on something really interesting there.
Yeah, you know what I find interesting about her? She has that vaudeville falsetto.
Yeah.
Which you don't hear at all anymore. I mean, but it's kind of nice to see it. I mean, because it hasn't been used in so long. It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, she's bringing it back and she's totally owning it. She's got her image sorted and she's not afraid to push boundaries. She's completely crazy, and I think that's a very endearing and empowering thing for her to be. I think she stands out, basically. I think that's great.
She actually reminds me of my great aunt, my mother's aunt, which my mother's aunt was a famous vaudeville singer / jazz singer back in the day called Sophie Tucker.
Yeah.
And I mean, she totally, I mean, not sing, not vocally, but you know, her mindset reminds me of her, that kind of tongue in cheek, you know, humor. And you know, she kind of, it's kind of nice to see that come back, that, you know, that vaudeville era, because she's kind of like a modern vaudevillist.
Yeah, I think if you go and see her perform live, you'll always leave with an opinion and a smile. And I think an artist's ability to get people talking like that and to stand out nowadays is so hard. I think she's definitely on to something special.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one quick final question. What do you think was the standout of all the newest artists, like bands that have maybe formed this year, or where this is their first actual gig, if there's any?
A standout band this year. Well, I love Motes, who performed this year, but they won Enemy's competition to play in Texas. So they're not really a new band, but they've got something really good going on and really interesting and different, and they're definitely one to watch. But I still think Helena and Nina are my two girls to watch, the new girls to watch on this one. Oh, and Francis as well. I forgot about Francis.
Oh, Francis? Yeah. She
amazing.
Yeah, she was great too. I mean, they're all stand out in their own little way. And what I found really refreshing was, with this being, basically everybody's a headliner type show, that they all stand out and they're all original. It's not like, 20 bands that are in the same genre even.
Yeah, definitely. There were two other bands that I think I have to mention, because their shows blew me away as well, with Tiger Factory and Breakfast Monkey. Breakfast Monkey are just insane, and their live shows, the problem that we have with the Tube Extra is it is in a theatre, so we have to take all the seating out, and sometimes you don't get that gig feel, which I think is something that we do need to work on. But Breakfast Monkey got everybody on the floor, and then it got everybody jumping around. Kobe came off the stage at one point, was in the crowd. They have this energy that if you can go and see them live, it's something you won't regret. And Tiger Factory as well, just an amazing performance from them as well, getting on rappers and changing up their set from just, they just stood out as something really different, I think. So those two definitely to watch as well.
Yeah, those bands, I mean, that we've actually got both of them in rotation on our station now, and I love that. I love that new Breakfast Monkey song that we're playing. It's almost got a Chili Pepper vibe to it.
Yeah, they just, I don't know if you can compare them to other bands, because I think they draw on so many different, and they're just so different, and that's really refreshing. And I love not being able to describe a band using, like, you know, when you say, oh, they sound like a band, and you say one band, but with them, I feel like you have to say so many different bands, which I really love. They just have so much going on, and they're great to see live. They're just so, so much fun.
Oh, exactly. I you know, what's funny. I mean, I've heard them probably about 5 or 6 times down the last week, and every time, I can pick a different band. Like last night I was listening to them, and I thought to myself, Old Faith No More.
Yeah, it just so, so good. And they're really nice guys as well. Like, they're just really genuine. They love what they do, and they love performing. So you just see that when they're on stage. They just have so much fun, and they make the crowd have so much fun as well.
Oh, yeah. So where can we find Lipa online? And can you enroll online and everything like that?
I know I did. If you go, I think it's lipa.ac.uk. I think that's the Institute's website. I think all the information should be on there. I would definitely recommend people, if you love performing and you want to be surrounded by people who love performance and everything to do with performance, then I think it's definitely a place that you should look into. I don't know any other institute that puts on events, and it's all student run as well. Like, if you want to come and work really hard for 3 years and at the end have a degree, and like all the opportunities that you get. I never thought that at university I would be producing an event like the Tube Extra, and it surprises me every day, but I do love it here.
Well, it was a great representation of not just the school, but performing arts in general. I mean, I couldn't believe that something that nice was on YouTube. Actually, the last YouTube concert I saw that was of that quality was when U2 broadcast from the Rose Bowl.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, if you remember that, they did a deal with YouTube where they broadcast live from the Rose Bowl in Miami.
I'm definitely gonna look that up.
but it was that you guys were equal to that quality wise.
Thank you so much. Well, we just have I can't compliment the technical team more, because without them it wouldn't have been as good as it would have been. But we upped the quality this year. We were streaming in HD when we could in 720. The cameras, really good quality. Just, I think the talent of the technical team, I think the tech teams sometimes get overlooked, and I think that they really, I know they were so happy with themselves, and they definitely deserve all the praise from making it so good on screen. Like, when we built a studio, it was the first time, so one of my jobs as a producer is to make sure that we have content for the whole time that we're live. So between bands, we have a 20-minute changeover, and we can't just have, I don't know, like signs or something go up on screen. So this year we decided to build a TV studio, and we're not taught how to do this. Everybody did their research. The technical director came to me and said, this is how we should do it. These are the lights we should do. And we built it, got presenters, organized interviews. And I think that made the stream look so much better, made it look more like a TV program, having that content in between, as well as the live shows.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of so many concerts that have done that in the past, like the Lady Di Memorial Concert, for one. Yeah. They had a similar format where they went back and forth between the artists, and then while they were doing set changes, they would show instances of her life and interviews with her family, things like that.
Yeah, like we had so much, support, and we had so much opportunity to gather content as well. We have masterclasses every week with amazing people. We had a masterclass with Noddy Holder, and we got to interview him after for the Tube Extra. So throughout the year we've been creating this content, and I just think it came together really well, and I'm definitely very proud of the finished product.
Nice. So do you think you're going to amp it up next year?
Definitely. The problem was, this year I was already thinking about things that we could do differently next year, things that I'd like to see change or improved on. But I think for now, until about next month, I think I'm just going to be happy with how it went before I start planning next year's. I think I need a couple of weeks off, and then I'll start planning next year's.
Oh, definitely. Well, you earned it. I mean, it's top notch.
Thank you very much.
So is there anything you'd like to say to the audience? Any parting words?
Oh, gosh. A hard work question. If you love performance and you think LIP is a place, you definitely apply. It's a hard institute to get into, but just try to have, like, just go for it. I don't see why not. I did, and I can't believe it happened. And also, if you want to see the Tube Extra videos, the streams, they're all on our YouTube channel, the Tube Lipper. And if you search for the Tube Extra 2015, all our videos will be there as well. We've got a couple of backstage videos on how we did certain shoots, and we've got a video actually of Phil Glennie, our technical director, vision mixing Chanel Sampson's performance, which is a really cool video if you want to know how all the camera stuff worked.